Apúrate que se acaban las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. Y como la Navidad ya se siente, ahorra $4 en luces LED de 100 bombillas en hilera GE. Ahora a solo $5.98. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12-3, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas, hasta agotar existencias. Detalles en Lowe's.com.
Hey, this is Jeremy. Just wanted to hop on before the episode started with a few announcements. We really want to hear from you, and perhaps the best way to do that, we actually have a subreddit now. It's just r/polyphonicpress, and I'll leave a link to it in the show notes. But it's always been my dream to have a community where we can all get together and talk about the albums that we review and just music in general. So if you want to join the community and start the community, really, because it's quite small right now, it's just r/polyphonicpress. And you can always help out the show in various ways. You can check out our Patreon and get these episodes the day before that they go live, and leave a rating and a review on Apple Music or Spotify or wherever you're listening. Those are great ways to get in touch with us as well. That's it. I just wanted to say that. And now on to the episode. Thank you.
This is Polyphonic Press, the podcast where two music fans pick a classic album completely at random. Using the patented random album generator, they are given an album to review from a curated list of over 1,000 classic releases, spanning multiple genres. And now onto the show. Here are your hosts, Jeremy Boyd and John Van Dyke.
Hey, welcome to Polyphonic Press. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
And I'm John Van Dyke.
And let's not waste any time. We've got the patented random album generator right in front of us here. So let's hit the button and see what album we're going to be listening to this week. And the album we're going to be listening to is Fuji's The Score. Okay. So, all right. So this is what it says on allmusic.com. Says, a breath of fresh air in the gangsta-dominated mid-90s, the Fugees' breakthrough album, The Score, marked the beginning of a resurgence in alternative hip-hop. Its left-field multi-platinum success proved there was a substantial untapped audience with an appreciation for rap music but little interest in thug life. The Score's eclecticism, social consciousness, and pop smarts drew millions of latent hip-hop listeners back into the fold, showing just how much the music had grown up. It not only catapulted the Fugees into stardom, but also launched the productive solo careers of Wyclef Jean and Lauryn Hill, the latter of whom already ranks as one of the top female MCs of all time, based on her work here. Not just a collection of individual talents, the Fugees' three MCs all share a crackling chemistry and a wide-ranging taste in music. Their strong fondness for smooth soul and reggae is underscored by the two hit covers given slight hip-hop makeovers, Roberta Flack's Killing Me Softly with his song and Bob Marley's No Woman, No Cry. Even when they're not relying on easily recognizable tunes, their original material is powered by a raft of indelible hooks, especially the great Fuji La. There are also touches of blues and gospel, and the recognizable samples range from doo-wop to Enya. Their protest tracks are often biting, yet tempered with pathos and humanity. Whether they're attacking racial profiling among police on The Beast, the insecurity behind violent posturing on Cowboys, or the inability of many black people in the Western Hemisphere to trace their familial roots, family business. Yeah, the Chinese restaurant skit is a little dicey, but on the whole, the score balances intelligence and accessibility with an easy assurance and ranks as one of the most distinctive hip-hop albums of its era. Okay.
Oh. It was the 90s. You could get away with a lot more then.
Yeah. Let's see here. Okay, so this is their second album. So it was released on February 13th, 1996. Genres are alternative hip-hop and progressive rap. Label is Ruffle House and Columbia Records. Producers are Praxwell Press, Wyclef Jean, Lauryn Hill, Jerry, T-Bass Duplessis, Diamond D, John Forte, Sean King, Warren Riker, and Salaam Remy. And if you're listening along, this came out in the 90s, so it's not really, there's no side one or side two, it's a CD, yep. But there's 13 tracks, so what we'll do is we'll listen to the first,
split seven in half?
we'll listen to the first six and then listen to the other seven. So it starts off with a red intro, and then we'll stop at the sixth track, which is Fuji Live, if you're listening along. And
I was thinking there were a little bit more funk, but that's, yeah. I mean, there might be a little bit in here. We'll have to see.
There probably is, yeah. Okay, so here's the first track. I think it's like not really a song, but it's the first track, and it's called Red Intro. So here we go. All right, so that's the first half of the album, ending it with Fuji La. Yeah, I kind of really like this so far.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. It's not generally the sort of thing I listen to, but social consciousness is actually doing it for me.
Yeah, and what I like about it is, and it's what I like about a lot of music like this is it's really good counterpoint in the sense that the music is very relaxing and laid back and easy, but they're singing about really serious issues and really serious subject matter. So it's sort of like, okay, I'm gonna get you relaxed. I'm gonna get you into the groove, make you feeling good, and now I'm gonna tell you what's really going on. Which is really, it's pretty brilliant, actually. It's pretty cool. So I really liked like that aspect of it.
I was really liking the just the overall sort of tone of everything. Everything's got that sort of like lo-fi, like that lo-fi hip-hop sort of backing I guess this is where it comes from. It feels very welcoming in a lot of ways, that sort of sound. I mean, you sort of get why people sort of relax to it. I mean, without the lyrics, you know. They decide, I was never much of a big fan of, like, the gangster stuff. I guess some people were just going on, like, talking about how it is when you're living in, you know, really rough situations and whatnot, but it's just... For me, it's just, it doesn't appeal to me, and unfortunately, a lot of people sort of glorified it and try to live up to it. And
yeah, that's the thing is it's the people that it's more the fans really that glorified it and tried to live up to it. And
no, of course, no, I know it's not the artists themselves because they actually live it and they know it's hell.
They completely miss the point of the music. It's the same thing. People do the same thing with, like, recently over the last, 20 years or so, there's been a lot of TV shows where the main character isn't the hero. I'm talking like The Sopranos, Breaking Bad. The point is, those are like cautionary tales. Like, don't be like this guy. Those are the point of those shows. But people, bringing it back to this album, what I like about this is like hip hop really started out, like you think of people like Grandmaster Flash and even Run DMC, they were singing about, you know, how hard life is in those neighborhoods. And so I feel like that is sort of, this album is sort of bringing it back to that sort of perspective.
Yeah, this sounds more like the sort of stuff that I kind of liked. But there's some stuff that I list that I've heard that I go, okay, this I can, not only can I listen to it, I can respect it. Because it's partly like what they're saying, which is really all, you know, it's the main thing about rap. It should be about what they're saying and things like that. And yes, the music is there and it's important because it's music. But it's just sometimes some of it got a little dumb.
It really did. That happens with everything. It got commercialized. It happened with rock in the 80s with all the hair metal, and it's happening with country right now. That just happens. That's just how music happens.
Becomes popular enough, and then the dregs of society to take a crack. I can do that.
It's more the big record companies saying, oh, we need to make you sound like this.
And we need to appeal to an eighth grade level, if not dumber.
But the other thing that I really like about this too is I like how every song, there's no pause between the songs. Every one song is leading into the next. And it's some of the songs are starting right away, and some of them have a little skit between them. And I really like that. I like that it's not just song after song after song after song. It's really flows. The whole album is flowing like a one, you know, complete piece, or one complete
story. It's
almost
like a play or something.
Yeah. It's like a concept album sort of thing.
It's a good way to put it. I mean, I would probably consider this a concept album. It's called The Score, and they're basically settling the score. That's what their thing is, and each song is tapping on a different thing that, you know, really grinds their gears.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. No. So, it's really cool, and yeah, they're each each song is a different scene in the play, and it's really really well done that way. So I guess we'll move on. We'll start the next half of the album. Starts with the song, where was it? Family Business. So here we go. Okay, ending the album with the song Manifest and a little outro there. Just sort of a little bit of credits for the album, which is kind of cool, actually. You don't really hear that very often.
No, and I think actually on an album like this, it sort of suits it. Like, it doesn't suit every genre, but it kind of suits this one.
Yeah, no, I really liked this. I mean, I was really impressed. It's very cohesive. The subject matter is very focused. They know exactly what they're doing. They kept through the whole album. They kept, you know, leading one song into the next, and with the music and the content of the lyrics, kept that sort of vibe of the relaxing sort of music and the sort of the dark subject matter. And I'm not I don't listen to a whole lot of hip hop. I think this album might start me listening to a lot more of it, because I know there's a lot of really good hip hop out there that I, you know, just haven't really explored a whole lot, if I'm being totally honest.
It's one of those things, like, it's a little bit daunting because I know there's a lot of crap to dig through. It's not sort of the same thing for me as, like, when I'm digging through the late 60s psychedelic stuff. Like, I can listen to the crappy stuff. But when it comes to like rap and hip hop, I can't really stand the crappy stuff. So it's a little bit harder for me to do a deep dive and try to find the good stuff.
Yeah, you almost need someone who knows the good stuff to sort of guide you. And I can, and you know, to flip it, somebody who isn't into rock music, and they come in and they, all they know is like, I don't like Poison or bands like that. If that's all they know of rock music, and it's like, oh, I hate rock music. It's all, you know, stupid shit about drinking and partying. It's like, so,
well,
you know,
let me introduce you to the Yes Fragile album or right. something like that.
Which I feel like this is like the Fragile of hip hop, or like one of those albums of hip hop. Like, this is the good stuff. This isn't the commercial shit that you hear.
Right. No, I agree.
So this has got me interested in wanting to listen to more hip hop, more like stuff like this.
Yeah, I found it fun. I wouldn't put it at like the top of my list, but it was, you know, there's definitely things in there that I found enjoyable. I thought it was interesting that at one point they sampled what was it, the Moody Blues Days of Future Past in there. It was very brief, but I picked that out. I thought it was very interesting. Just the things that they referenced musically even was sort of interesting. Like, they obviously have a very wide appreciation for different genres and stuff like that.
All music relates to all music. There's a clear connection from one type of music to another type of music, and it's all interconnected. And I think that's really cool. All right, so the question is, would you listen to this again?
Yeah, maybe. I probably wouldn't listen to it immediately or anything like that, but if someone put it on, I'm like, yeah, okay, I remember this. This is pretty cool.
Yeah. So yeah, I would definitely listen to this again. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I really like this. So, yeah, it's, I'm really impressed with it. Yeah, so I guess we will end the episode there. Thank you so much for listening if you made it this far. You can go to polyphonicpress.com and drop us a line, go to the contact page and say hello. We have a new way to support us. We're off Patreon and going with buymeacoffee.com. And the reason is you don't actually have to sign up for an account. And you can give a one-time donation of like as little as $1. So it's a lot easier, and it's no commitment or anything like that. So if you feel inclined to help out the show, head on over to buymeacoffee.com/polyphonicpress. And I think that's pretty much it. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
I'm John Van Dyke.
Take it easy.
Do we